It's the Skepticism Alive, edition, live at Vancouver Convention Center. This week, SFU and the anti-vax movement, the cure for HIV, talking of whales, and more on this pledge drive edition of Radio Free Thinker. Let's begin.
It's time for Radio Free Thinker, the show that applies skepticism and critical thinking to everyday issues. The place where reason and reality cross sword, politics, religion, economics, and of course, science. Now let's get ready to be skeptical. The cosmos is also within us. We're made of sparks, but we are away. The cosmos can know itself.
Across the sea of space, the stars are others, and we have traveled this way before, and there is much to be learned.
Hello and welcome to Radio Free Thinker, live at the Vancouver Convention Center, and we're here at the Study Abroad Convention, and my name is Ethan, your free thinking historian.
I was wondering if you were ever going to mention that, Ethan.
Always mention who I am, Don.
This is Don, you're a political science philosopher, and oh my God, it's so exciting, we're live. We've never really done a live show in a live place. I mean, we've always been alive when we've done the show.
Well, I mean, most of the show is live, just in our studio.
But yeah, exactly. It's so nervous in here.
Yeah,
so Ethan, did you hear the really new exciting news?
What's the exciting news, Don?
Well, apparently, Dennis Tito is planning a project to go fly two people past Mars.
Really?
Do you know what's the most exciting thing about that? It shone out at me. That apparently part of the radiation shield they're going to use, wait for it, is poo. They're going to be poo shields on the first mission to Mars. Now, if that's not weird, I don't know what is.
That is pretty weird, I have to say.
Well, one of the big things they always have is, you know, you have a limited amount of space to cover things and that sort of thing. And they need shielding. So they use, like, water and their food. And, of course, once you eat the water and the food, you get excrement. And excrement they're going to use as part of the shielding. So, I mean, that's what I call making the most of a small, finite resource. And speaking of making the most of a small, finite resource, CITR is in the middle of its pledge drive. We are a small radio station where we're highly dependent upon pledges and fundraising that you, our listeners, can give us. We need new equipment. We need to keep ourselves on the air. So every couple of months, we come on and we ask for some money. And now is the time for you to step up and help keep skepticism alive on the Vancouver airwaves. Ethan, what kind of things could they get if they donate?
Well, Don, first, I got to tell them how to donate.
Oh, yes. That's important, too. That's the most important thing.
So all our listeners out there, and I know you're listening, you can call at 604-822-8648. That's 604-UBC-UNIT, for those of you keeping score at home. And we accept all forms of cash and monetary equipment. So cash, checks, change. No pennies, though. We don't accept to take pennies. But yeah, and we really appreciate it because, you know, as Don said, we're a small radio station, but we have big ambitions. And, you know, the other thing is there are no losers who call in, because everyone who calls in is a winner, right, Don?
Exactly, you know. And don't feel like you have to give the big money. I mean, we appreciate the big money. Anyone who wants to donate $1,000, woohoo! But if you can only give like $5, great. You can drop by the radio station and just drop it off. If you want to go on the website, and we have a website that will be on our webpage.
CITR.ca.
Right, and you can donate from there, and every little bit counts. Just don't sit back and say, I can't really afford anything. Well, everyone can afford a latte. And that's as much as if you thought all you can give, that's all you can give.
Yeah, absolutely. And we reward our loyal listeners. So we have some awesome prize packs that have been provided to us from CFI, the JREF, Skeptical Inquirer, some really great free thought organizations out there that care passionately about this sort of thing. So anyone out there, if you're listening right now, listen. If you donate $10 or more, we will give you a Best of Radio Free Thinker CD gift set. And I got to tell you, you know, me and Don, there's only a matter of time before we totally sell out and license the crap out of our stuff.
Exactly.
And we're going to jack that price up so high. So $10 gets you our best stuff. Get it now before it's too late.
Well, and I mean, we're talking classic material. I mean, how many people out there really wish they had like the Silver Beetle album of the Beatles before they became famous? Right? I mean, this is your chance to get a hold of stuff that I know is going to be collector's items in the future. But Ethan, I'm a bit more generous than I want to give more than $10. What incentive are we offering for people who want to give more?
Well, Don, if you donate $20 or more, you will receive a special skeptic-themed sticker gift pack. So we have a whole bunch of bumper stickers, I doubt it stickers. These are great. You know, you put them on your car, people driving behind you can know that you're a skeptic.
Woohoo!
Yeah, that's really important in this community.
Well, you know, and when it comes to the Great Purge, that may save your life.
Absolutely. If you donate $30 or more, we will give you a blank checkbook full of $1 million checks. Okay, they're not real $1 million checks. They're promotional items to commemorate the $1 million challenge by the JREF. So, again, you can have your piece of this amazing bit of skeptical history. And, again, $30 gets you this checkbook. Lots of fun. Hand them out at Christmas time or at Thanksgiving to your friends. Great thing. If you donate $40 or more, you'll get a DVD set, including Heart of the Beholder and The Secrets of the Dead Sea Scrolls. So, I guess, you know,
it's a good laugh.
Over, have a few drinks.
But now, Ethan, I have to call you in this one. How many of these do we have to give away?
Okay, so the stickers and the CDs we have almost unlimited because we're generous like that. But the checkbooks, only two. Okay, just two.
And that's first come, first serve.
For the DVD gift pack, there is only one DVD gift pack. So make sure that if you want that pack, you call in and you donate $40 or more. Now, if you donate $70 or more, we have a collection of Skeptical Inquirer or Free Inquiry magazines. So this comes in two gift packs here. You can get 5 Skeptical Inquirers or 5 Free Inquiry magazines. And I've actually taken a look at these magazines. I've thrown in some rare ones. So, yeah, so this is not, you know, the most recent 5 magazines. These are, some of these are a few years old. So get them now. They're great content.
So you're not only saying this is not only a collection of skeptic magazines, but these are collectible skeptic magazines.
Yeah, absolutely. Some of these free inquiries have Paul Kurtz's most recent writings. Of course, Paul Kurtz passed away a little while ago, so this is a great way to honor his memory. And if you donate $80 or more, you will receive either a JREF or a CFI Extraordinary Claims t-shirt. So we have 3 different shirts, different sizes. So the JREF and the CFI shirts, great. I'm wearing one right now. It's fashionable. Everybody likes it. So call in, donate $80 or more. And of course, you know, we have our premier level of donations. This is where our fans really step up. For $101.09, get it because CITR 101, you'll get a TAM DVD gift set. We have TAM 5.5 and TAM 7. So this includes all the talks from these two conferences. Great value. Normally these things are like $150 if you try to buy them. You're getting a really good deal if you donate right now.
Wow.
And the top prize, the greatest prize of all.
Drum roll, please.
If you donate $250 or more, you will get a chance to come on Radio Free Thinker and host a show with us.
Wow, that's so exciting.
And the really cool thing about this, so we had somebody who ponied up, they were going to come on, but they chickened out at the last moment. So not only if you donate the $250 and come on, you will be the first to successfully make your way from the, you know, the your side of the radio to our side of the radio.
And for those people who might be a little worried about coming on the radio, don't worry. We can be there. We can help coach you. So, like, don't feel like we're just going to throw you on the air and you'll accept to sink or swim. This is intended to be a great experience for both you and, well, the radio station, because everyone in Vancouver will be able to listen to the wonderful thoughts I'm sure you'll have to share. And, Ethan, I have a special.
Yes.
I have a special
right
now.
All right. Okay, special down.
The next person to donate more than $20 will get 2 free tickets to the Beatty Museum. I'm donating personally.
That is very generous of you, Don.
So donate online, phone in, and you will get 2 free tickets to the Beatty. However much you want to donate, just be the next one to call in and donate.
The number you would call is 604-822-8648. And remember, folks, you know, there's not too many radio stations in the world that put on a skeptic radio show. And let's just, like, recap here. You know, some of the things that we've, you know, put under our skeptical lens, you know, everything from Big Pharma to Big Placebo.
We've done such things as, like, nuclear weapons in Iran. I mean, you know, taking a skeptical look at that. I mean, we don't make judgments. We just say, listen, you know, skepticism, it's a philosophy and it's a tool set.
Well, we make judgments sometimes.
Okay.
But only when they really deserve it.
Right. But and we don't do it because it's what we believe. We do it because that's where the evidence leads us to go.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, we talk about gun control. We talk about social justice issues. We talk about, we've had various feminist skeptics on. We've had pro-science monster hunters on. We've had a whole variety of people on our show. And this is the kind of quality that we strive to produce here on Radio Freethinker. So, you know, if you care about these sort of things, donate. Help us out.
Exactly. Now, Ethan, I know our listeners love the great stuff that we give, but we're not only giving stuff out, too. I mean, CITR has, for our more hipper people, are giving out a lot of free swag, too.
Absolutely. So,
While Ethan hunts that up, I'm going to make one note. Now, with this swag that we're offering, those people who would prefer to have a tax receipt, let us know, and you get a tax receipt in lieu of, or a tax receipt minus the value of, the swag that we're going to offer.
Yeah, it's one or the other, folks, unfortunately. We don't make the rules on this, but...
Yes. That evil Harper.
Yeah. So listen, if you are a fan of CITR, you're going to want this cool stuff. You get, for $30, a Friends of CITR card, great discounts. I use it all the time. You'll get a Radioversity t-shirt at $75.
Wow, what a fashion statement that would make.
Imagine if you had that and the JRF or CFI shirts.
And just think about it, too. I mean, people are going to sit there and say, hey, where can I buy this? Where can I buy this? You say, you can't. You can't. I'm the only one who's going to have this. Unless you donate it, you can't get this shirt.
Yeah, very exclusive stuff. At $101.09, you will get a Pop Alliance LP, which is a special LP created by the folks here at CITR. Again,
yeah,
priceless.
I'll give that one to you. I have no idea.
Yeah, okay. At $175, you get all of the above plus, oh my God, 30 years of Discorder calendar.
Wow. That's like the special calendar Discord has put out because it's been on the presses for 30 years.
Absolutely. At the $250 level, you get two Friends cards, the t-shirt, the LP, the calendar, and a tote bag. And who doesn't love a tote bag?
I could use it today.
Yeah, exactly. At $500, you get the two Friend cards, two t-shirts, LP, calendar, two tote bags at, $750, everything double. So you're going to rake in the cash on that one. And of course, if you are really generous, and donate $1,000, you'll get double everything in the prize pack, and each donor will be listed on a cassette tape on the wall of the new station in the new sub. So you'll be immortalized in the halls of CITR.
Wow, that's quite cool. I was going to give you the total, but unfortunately the phone that has it on got another message. But I have it rumored that it's over $11,000. Wow, that's like, $11,562, and she got another text message.
You're so popular.
But that's like we're a third of the way to our total. So great work, folks. Phone in. We need the money. It helps keep us on the air. We're Vancouver's only skeptical radio show. We're one of the few radio shows that deal exclusively with skepticism and beyond the science of skepticism in Canada and the world. Help keep us on the air. Pledge, donate now.
Well, let's give them a sample of the kind of great content they would be missing if they don't donate. So, Don, did you hear that a toddler was cured of HIV?
A miracle. It was the Pope. The Pope, the last day of his reign, I heard, came down from the clouds, and he could float down because he had that big hat.
Right, right.
And he touched this child in Mississippi. I think it's in Mississippi.
Maybe.
And bam-o, the AIDS was gone.
Or it could have been that the Pope retired, and God saw fit to reward us for our... No. Okay, so this is actually a really amazing science story. What happened here is this toddler was born to a mother who had HIV. They didn't realize that she had passed on the infection when she gave birth. And so the toddler was diagnosed with HIV. The doctor decided to try a pretty radical solution and give the sort of traditional cocktail, the ART cocktail. And this is an extreme drug treatment. And they gave it to this toddler for a couple months. And then because of some financial problems, they had to go off the medication. But the doctor followed up and made an amazing discovery that the child was virus-free. So is this a cure? No. But it is an amazing development. What happened here is that the way the virus works is that it finds a repository in the body. This means that, you know, if someone gets it and they take the medication, they can lower down the virus present, but they can't, you know, get rid of it entirely. But the drug cocktail in this case was so fast-acting that it prevented the virus from getting initial foothold in the first place. So there was never a chance for it to replenish itself after treatment was completed.
So this as a cure is not exactly a cure, from what I understand, is there still may be some residual HIV virus in the body, but now the body knows how to deal with it, and yeah. So AIDS will never come full-blown.
It's like a functional cure is the word they're using for it.
And the other thing is that this was a very specific set of circumstances. As Ethan had mentioned, you know, the child was born, and within hours of being born, they put it on this rather risky, for the kid, cocktail of drugs, and it worked. But now let's put our skeptical hat. It worked this one time. Now, this is almost, by definition, anecdotal evidence. Now,
right.
This needs to be replicated, but at least it seems like there's some hope for, well, no, I won't go there.
Well, I mean, there's hope for children in this position. I mean, and this does happen, not a lot in you know, the industrialized West, but it happens, you know, a couple hundred times a year. So there is room for... you know, pretty impressive advancements in healthcare.
We should be really excited about this, but again, to keep the skeptical hat on, one of the other things that a lot of people don't realize that HIV is not a virus, but it's actually a set of viruses. There's different levels. There are some that are much more virulent, some that are less virulent, some that are sort of regionally specific. Like there's a strain in Africa that is an African strain that is different than the one in Asia or North America. So like one of the things that have come out is there's a natural immunity that's become apparent in in Kenya and areas like that. But that immunity is not really transferable to the rest of the world because it's a different strain. And even if this cure does work on sort of the North American version, it might not work on the rest of the world. But, you know, let's just be happy if for only the fact that we have no pope.
That's a great reason to be happy. So Don...
we talked about the Pope and we talked about medicine, and when it comes to irrationality in medicine, the first thing that pops up to my mind is the anti-vax movement. Now, I understand, Ethan, that you were on the radio mere minutes ago talking about a kerfuffle at the other higher institution of learning in the city.
Yeah, so for those of you who haven't heard the background, there's a group called the Vaccination Resistance Movement. Doesn't sound all that good. Anyway, they've rented out the SFU Harbor Center campus, not the whole campus, like a room in it, for their upcoming conference, the Vaccine Summit Vancouver 2013. Now, anyone who knows anything about the anti-vax movement knows this is like, whoa, what is SFU doing here? Don't they have any policy on this sort of thing? And apparently they just thought, oh, rent it out, whatever, they don't care. So us local skeptics here in Vancouver have attempted to inform them of this situation. The faculty of health and or health sciences at SFU sent off a pretty strongly worded letter to the president, Andrew Petter, and CFI compiled our own letter and sent it to the president. And we also got some signatures from various faculty members of the medicine schools at UBC and SFU, including some important doctors and medical experts in the local community. And we sent this to SFU in the hopes that, you know, they'd see it and say, wait a second, maybe we shouldn't be renting out our space to anti-vaccination people because that's kind of dangerous.
Yes.
So,
let's nail that one on the head, right? Is it dangerous or not? There are many different things in the world where people can have a difference of opinion. But the anti-vax movement quite literally is responsible for the deaths of hundreds, if not thousands.
More like thousands, yeah.
Of children. Because the children get infected directly with a disease that really should be wiped off the planet and they die from it. Or B, they get infected because the people around them aren't immune to it, and they get what they call a secondary infection. So the idea here is there's a huge herd immunity, and you need a certain percentage of the population to be vaccinated to protect those people who are either too young or too ill to get vaccinated themselves. And the anti-vax movement, by making people think that, you know, you don't need to be vaccinated, reduces this herd immunity. So not only are they taking their own lives at risk, which you might honestly say, hey, that's up to them, but they make the community in general at risk, which is why this is such a vilified group.
And nasty. I mean, it's just terrible. And, you know, the argument has been made repeatedly to me that, well, you know, SFU, they're just renting out the space. What's the big deal? It's like, well, you know, they have a reputation to maintain. They are a center of higher learning. They have a faculty of medicine, a well-respected reputation in the field of medicine and health sciences. They should know better than this. And honestly, what are they paying? What could they possibly be paying for their space? And is that worth reputation it costs to put this on?
Actually, you know, Ethan, I was thinking about this before the show. And I was thinking, you know, we've talked on the show a number of times about the idea of free speech. And this is actually one of the areas where people say, well, Ethan, you know, you're trying to squash their free speech rights. You're trying to deny them. Well, we recognize in Canada that we don't have an absolute right to free speech. And actually, I was thinking there's actually like three or four different levels where this applies on. And I think they hit the biggest level where, you know, there's actually endangering people's lives. If an act endangers someone's life directly, then you should not be allowed. You cannot yell fire in a crowded theater.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I mean, no one would be batting an eyelash if this was a white supremacist group renting out SFU.
Well, actually, and this comes to this. So I mentioned I think there's like three or four levels, right? So the first level, directly causing physical harm. And this causes direct physical harm. The second one is, you mentioned, hate crimes, which is your white supremacists. It's your Ann Coulters, right? We've talked before where we don't think they should be allowed to speak because they instill hate in others. And that indirectly will sort of have this roll-on effect. But then you get some people, like George Bush was coming to town, right? Now, I don't like George Bush. I would not want him to speak here. But I don't think we would deny him speaking here because, you know, he has a right to say anything. But that's where the social responsibility of an institution like SFU steps in, where it says, okay, there isn't hate speech, you know, this isn't, you know, there's no imminent death, but this is someone who is probably guilty of war crimes by his own admission. It's not something we want to be associated with. And I think that was the main part of your original argument. I think the anti-vaxxers are much higher than that, but if only for that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the other thing too, and this is another point that's been coming up a lot of times, is that the anti-vax movement, it's not a controversy in what we would normally use that term. It's a manufactured controversy. You know, it's not like 50% of scientists say one thing and another 50% say the other thing. It's like 99.9% and Andrew Wakefield.
Yeah.
You know, who's been convicted of fraud. Let's be clear on that, right? So this is on the level of SFU hosting a flat Earth convention or the, you know, alternatives to the theory of gravity.
Well, a flat earther is to think, hey, if you throw your baby off a cliff, it'll float up because there is no gravity. It's just an illusion.
Yeah. So, I mean, people have been saying over and over again, well, you know, what's the big deal? Leave it alone. No, it's not. It's a very big deal. And goodness knows, we've talked about the anti-vax movement in Vancouver how many times on the show? Many, many times. And, you know, there's not a lot of news sources in this city that talk about this.
No. Well, you know, Ethan, I have a practical question for you. Now, thanks to the mobilization of the skeptical community in Ottawa, Jenny McCraig, what?
Jenny MacArthur. MacArthur.
Thank you.
Yes.
Jenny was disinvited to do a cancer event. Is there any chance that SFU may rescind or something like that, their invitation?
I really hope so. At the very least, like, I can understand if they have some kind of contract they can't break, fine. But you know what? Send a person down, representative of the university, and say, listen, we disavow any association with this group. This was purely a financial decision, a poorly made one at that, and we want nothing to do with this group. You know what? Like, if they can make it clear that they do not want anything to do with the organization, with the message, it's not great, but it's a start, right? I think that's what we would hope for.
Yes. No, I agree.
So, again, we're here at our Fun Drive episode, Radio Freethinker, CITR. If you're just tuning in, we really need you to call in right now and donate some cash. Help us out. We have some great skeptical prize packs. For example, you know, say you want a collection of Skeptical Inquirer magazines or Free Inquiry, call in right now, donate $70 or more, and you will get it.
Yes, and every little penny counts, so please don't feel like too little is not enough. We appreciate every donation. It's greatly appreciated. Everyone who donates to Radio Free Thinker will get a free shout out on the radio. Just our own little thank you for donating.
Well, let's take a quick break here on Radio Free Thinker, and we'll be back with more after this.
tell you just a act too. Flirty, flirty, you run to Tom Dick. I'm all so hurry. And when you find your mistake, you talk about your sorry, sorry, sorry.
Now every make a lot of your this young girl have a passion. For the coolie white and Indian, not sick kill and it's fun. And just the other day, I see her 6 months pregnant. Now she bump a sweet again with not a baby in a prom. Do you heard about this girl? Her name is Maxine. Her beauty's like a bunch of rose. And if I ever tell you about Maxine, you would have say I don't know what I know. But murder she wrote. Murder she wrote. Murder she wrote. No, no, no. Murder she wrote.
Excuse me. Y'all never know what's on your street. Ragamuffin, Jack, and they must come to your flashy TMW. Oh, hey, hey. Tell me. Your pretty face and bad character. Then the kind of living can't. Hold chaka, follow me. Your pretty face and bad character. Then the kind of living town. Hold chaka, say, girl, you're pretty. Your face ain't pretty, but your character dirty. Girl, you just act too flirty, flirty. You run to Tom Dick and also hurry. And when you find your mistake, you talk about your sorry, sorry, sorry. The girl a boss and a rag on, she looks sexy. All she worship is being vanity. The girl a boss and a rag on, she look pretty. When she wash her clothes, it dirty. Girl, you're not ready. You can't cook for me, girl, you're not ready.
What you searching for? Reggae music. Whoa, whoa,
whoa, whoa.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Whoa, whoa,
whoa, whoa.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Everybody jump around, reggae and me move. Badang, badang, everybody jump.
And we're back here on Radio Overthinker live at the Vancouver Convention Center.
And this is Dawn. Hi, guys. So we're back, and I've got a special guest. I got Donna Payton from the University of Bangor. Say hello.
Hi.
Now, you may ask, why do we have someone here from the University of Bangor? Well, I come from Northern Wales. Well, I don't. My grandfather does. And the University of Bangor is in Northern Wales.
That's right, yes. We're located right in the on the North Wales coast. So it's a university located near the mountain and the sea.
Wow.
Yeah.
Beautiful location, I'm sure it is.
It's great, yes. We have many, many students from all over the world that come to us. And one of our fortes is that it's an extremely safe place to study.
Oh, that must be nice.
It's very nice, yes.
One of the things that one of the reasons why I brought you on here specifically, we have a university crowd. They're going to love to hear about university. But I talked to you a bit before about the Welsh language and the whole idea of Gaelic and all that.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, in Wales, there's been, well, not so much now, but a few generations, there was a lot of movement to try and resurrect the Welsh language amongst its people and all that. You speak Welsh.
Yeah, Welsh is my first language, and the Welsh Assembly Government has recently invested a lot of money into trying to get more speakers of the language in Wales. Like I mentioned, my first language is Welsh. So the ladies here at the fair have been trying to get me to say the longest word in Welsh. I've had to say it three times this morning already. So
could we make it a fourth?
We can, if you like. Okay, so it's a famous town in North Wales. It's called Llanfair Pwllgwyngyll Gogaer Chwyndrobyll Llantyseilio Gogogoch.
And in one breath. Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
Well, that's one of the things. For one instance, the Welsh language is kind of like German in the sense that they put parts together to make a new word. They don't invent a new word. They just...
Yeah, that's true in a sense. But, you know, I'm probably the only Welsh speaker at this fair today. And my colleagues from the universities, when they hear me speaking Welsh with people on the phone or something, they seem to call it a tongues language. It is very wordy. It's very consonant heavy.
Well, it's very poetic, too. I understand one of the inspirations in, like, The Hobbit and all that for the elven language is Welsh.
Yes, that's true, yeah. I think some of that film was actually filmed in North Wales.
Yes.
Of the Lord of the Rings.
I must admit, Ethan was quite disappointed that you're from North Wales, because in Cardiff they filmed Doctor Who, and we have a nerdy audience, and they would have loved Doctor Who, but...
Yeah, that's true. But, well, some people have said that I look a little bit like Billie Piper, which she was in Doctor Who, but that's the only connection I have, I'm afraid.
that's okay. It's Doctor Who. It's far away. I'll never... be on Doctor Who.
So the University of Vancouver, it's a northern Wales. A lot of people associate Wales with coal country and, you know, singing Coleman and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Is this the rustic version of Wales? Or if I was a prospective student and I wanted to go to Wales, why would I go to Bangor?
Well, the Bangor University, it was established in 1884, so it's a traditional university, one of the eldest universities in the UK. So we have only over 125 years of experience in research and all sorts. We have five different faculties within the university, sciences, arts and humanities, behavioural sciences, business, law, engineering, all sorts. And like I mentioned before, you know, it's extremely safe. The cost of living is also very good at Bangor, which is very attractive for international students, and our fees are competitive as well. The great thing about the UK compared to a country the size of Canada is that it's only small anyway, so even located in North Wales, it's still only 3 hours away from London on the train, so yeah, it's so great.
It's like SkyTrain will take you anywhere in the country.
Yeah. It's very convenient, and, you know, like I mentioned, the UK is only small, so it's, you know, it's great.
Okay, so I have to ask. I've been to the UK, and great history there.
Yeah.
So, what's like the best historic site located nearby? Like, what if students go there? What can they expect to explore? Like, any ruins, castles?
Yeah, there's castles everywhere. North Wales is, you know, we have from Bangor University. The nearest town is the nearest other town is Caernarfon, and there's a castle there. If you go east on the A55, you'll come to Llandudno and Conwy. There's a castle there. On the A55, there's a castle there as well, Penrhyncorch. So there's castles everywhere, and in North Wales as well, close to the university is Snowdonia Mountain, which is the highest mountain in Wales, and it's a very, very beautiful, picturesque part of the country.
Do they ski there?
Not ski so much, but lots of climbing and rock climbing. And
we all sort of remember Eddie Eagle at what was it? It was the Calgary Olympics, wasn't it? That he is ski jumping from England. It was
right.
He had to go somewhere.
Yeah.
You speak Welsh and all that.
Yeah.
Are you from the Bangor area, or are you from a different part of the country?
I'm from North Wales, more inland. So I'm from a village called Cerrig y Drudion, you know, yeah, blink and you'll miss it, basically, on the A5. So it's located between Betws y Coed and Llangollen on the A5. And Betws y Coed is very popular for tourists. It's beautiful. Again, lots of walking and a lot of outdoor things going on around there.
So you said that your first language is Welsh.
Yeah.
So if I'm an English speaker or whatever, would I have trouble understanding what people are saying around me?
Probably, yes. It's quite a difficult language, but like Canada, you have the English and French as equal languages here. We have Welsh and English as equal languages in the UK as well. So, you know, students don't need to worry that if they came to us, they wouldn't understand anything because it's a bilingual country. And everybody who speaks Welsh can also speak English. That's, you know, it's a given. It's no problems.
Is it like in Canada where there's a bit of tension along the sort of Quebec Ontario border of what language you speak?
Not so much. I mean, you know, it's no. Some people seem to think that the Welsh hate the English people. It's, you know, it's not so much like that, because you wouldn't be able to get around in daily life if you only spoke Welsh, because, you know, you just need the English language as well. Mm. Yeah, it would be very narrow-minded of people to think that you don't need the English language, because you do. It's like an international language.
The Wales has its own political party, except from the Labour Conservative Party, although they have representatives there. Does Vancouver University offer anything special with regards to studying political science or something for what would sort of be a subnational view of the world?
We don't have political sciences at the university, unfortunately.
Social sciences.
Though. Social sciences we have, and within the social sciences we have things like sociology, criminology, which is a very popular choice, social policy, sociology. So the psychology and the other subjects that people would assume that would come under the social sciences banner, they don't actually. So we have psychology as a separate school. Law is very popular for Canadian students. I think that's where we have most Canadian students actually at the university.
And so what exactly is law?
Sorry, law.
Oh, law.
Law. Yeah. Differences pronunciations
there.
You're
from Wales, aren't you?
Yes. Law. Law.
Actually, I did notice that. I noticed that about 1 in 3 were pushing law degrees.
Yeah.
How come law is such a big... I mean, because British law is different than Canadian law, so it's not like you could...
It is, but it's still common law. So if students came to our university to do law... They could even come straight from high school. It's not required in the UK for students to have an undergraduate bachelor degree prior to doing an LLB program. So although we could accept them onto the 3-year LLB program here, when they came back to Canada, the Federation of Law here does require them to have 5 years education. So that doesn't fit within that remit. So what I would suggest to students is to do the undergraduate bachelor degree here in Canada, and then they could come to the UK or to our university in Bangor and do the accelerated 2-year LLB, which you know, it's only 2 years, so it's not so long for them to be away from the parents and their comfort zone. And then a lot of the modules that we have within our 2-year LLB program is very well mapped against the requirements for the Federation of Law here. They will still have to do some challenge exams, but they can do that whilst they're training for their articles when they come back.
I don't think I noticed in your perspective that you had of any online type courses, but is there anything like that coming up in the future?
The only online course, well, it's not so much an online course, the distance learning course that we offer at the moment is a Chartered Banker MBA. So I think the difficulty would be for visas, etc., for students to do online courses and to get recognition, and then the university would need to... validates the courses and all sorts of things. So it's an area that we're looking into, but we're not doing it at the moment. Because I think we at the university believes that it's important for students to have the face-to-face interaction with the professors. So that's what we're focusing on at the moment.
Are there any options for students who have EU citizenship? Is that a benefit, or can that help them with getting visas, that
and
sort of thing?
On to that, Commonwealth membership.
Sorry, what was the
EU membership?
Okay, so if students are from the EU, you mean?
Well, let's say they have like
one of the co-hosts we had on the show was Polish.
Okay,
and he had a Polish citizenship.
Yeah.
So he's a member of the EU, and he went to a university, sorry, not yours.
Yeah.
But because he was a member of the EU, he got special access.
Okay.
And I, in the olden days, if you were a member of the Commonwealth,
yeah,
you could get sort of a special in as opposed to someone else. Or are we just smoking tobacco?
Okay, what we have at the university at the moment is we have, so the home students and the EU students are classed together, and they have separate fees. So the fees for the home students and EU students are the same. And we also have a cap on the number of home and EU students that we can accept. For international students, there's a separate fee, and we can accept basically as many international students as we can accommodate at the university. So there is a difference between the international and the home and EU students. But I wouldn't say that one is more likely to get a place over the other. It, you know, it just depends on merit and the students.
I know University of British Columbia, foreign students will tend to pay a bit more.
Yeah.
But there's also tends to be a lot more scholarships.
That's true.
Is that the same?
Yeah. So last year, we for the law program, for example, we only offered £800 to our international law students. And that doesn't sound like a lot, but that's because if we offered more than that, the course would be cheaper than what the home students would pay. And obviously, we can't have that situation. So, yeah, there are definitely more scholarships available to international students and, you know, basically to attract them. And it's good for the university to have the internationalization and all the students from various countries as well, because it does give a special perspective to the courses.
You emphasized something at the beginning, and you said it actually a couple of times, and I'm curious to know where that comes from. You emphasized that it's a safe place to go.
Yeah.
Now, we all remember the riots in London a few years ago.
Yeah.
Why are you promoting the idea of it's a safe place?
Well, you know, if you only have to look at the crime statistics for the UK to see that Bangor or North Wales in general is generally safer than England and possibly London as a destination. I don't know what more to say about it, but it's the crime statistics. It just is. It's, you know, it's a beautiful place. It is very safe. The crime rate is minimal, and that is very appealing to international students. Hmm.
So, do you guys have a campus radio station? And
we probably do. I don't know much about it, to be honest.
Well, I ask. Because I'm sure that as a member of the university, you would encourage students there to donate to their campus radio station if they were having a fun drive.
Yeah.
So all our listeners listening now can see that everywhere else, students will donate to their campus radio station. So donate to ours, because it's our fun drive, and we need your support.
Okay.
Yes, and we'll come back to that after we have a bit of a break, because I'm sure Donna needs to go back and to try and get more and more people to go to the University of Bangor in Northern Wales.
That's right. Great. Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
So, when we're done the show, I'll come back and I'll give you a lot of
We're back on Radio Free Thinker here at the Vancouver Convention Center during our Fun Drive show.
Yes, and we'd like to thank Donna for telling us a bit about the old country. It was quite exciting.
It was very good, wasn't it?
It was. And speaking of the old country... I'm trying to break up Ian, it almost works. Speaking of old country, many people may or may not be aware, but in England in particular and other parts of Europe, there's been this huge controversy over what qualifies as a cow. You may not know. Do you know about this, Ethan, at all?
No, not really. What's going on?
Well, it started a few weeks ago, I believe, where someone did some testing, and I think it was a scientist who did some testing, of some beef that they got from the local Tesco's, which is their equivalent to Save-On Foods. And they found out that like up to 30 or 40% of it was actually horse meat.
Horse meat?
Which, of course, made people go, oh, my God, it's horse meat. We don't want to eat horses. But then that led to a whole other thing where they started testing more and more of the meat. And it turned out that is rampant all across Europe. Almost every place where they've tested the beef, they found out there's huge amounts of horse meat in it, to the point where IKEA... Landmark IKEA is no longer offering you Swedish meatballs because they tested for horse meat in the meatballs and they just said, oh no, we can't deal with this, and they're suing the company that's doing this. And it's you know, it's one of those things that... Well, do you know why they found out about this?
No, what happened?
Well, again, it was just a scientist who was doing something.
Right.
And they said, well, why didn't you notice this before? And they said, well, we've never tested it before. And you just sit back and you go, I mean, on the one hand, I can understand. Because you think, well, who would put horse meat into the hamburger? But at the other hand, you're going, well, since someone tested out, it may be a good idea. One person who I was talking to this beforehand, and this might be, you might have an opinion on this, Ethan, said they really did not care whether there was horse meat or dog meat or what have you in the hamburger. They were much more concerned with the idea of whether or not there was E. coli in it. That, you know, we really shouldn't waste our money testing to see whether our meat is pure, but we should be much more worried about this. Did you have a thought about that?
Well, I mean, you know, the reaction to eating horse meat like it's some kind of, you know, sacrilege is a little silly. I mean, it's still an animal. It's still, you know, organic.
Ironically enough, if you ate pure horse meat, it wouldn't be a sacrilege in India, but that's a whole other...
Well, there you go. Wow, we just got a big donation here on Radio for Thing.
Yes.
Oh, hello, listeners. Marlene Cloud just donated 101.9, so thank you very much for donating to the Fun Drive and Radio Free Thinkers, Marlene.
That's just fantastic. I'm so happy right now.
So what did she get?
Yeah, so did she elect for a prize or a tax receipt?
Well, if she were to have elected for a prize, what would she have gotten?
If she had elected for a prize, she would have gotten her choice of a TAM DVD set, either TAM 5.5 or TAM 7.
Plus the CITR swag.
Plus the CITR swag.
And the two tickets to the BD Museum of Natural History at UBC.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a really good prize. I like that one. Yeah, so a Radioversity t-shirt and a Pop Alliance LP and a Friends of CITR card. So many prizes.
You know, and this just shows you, I mean... You know, we're talking about how, you know, horse meat has been adulterating beef. You're getting an impure, corrupted, icky, I don't know what's really in there. And the only way to prevent this from happening in Canada is to support local radio.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, we do a lot of work in policing the horse meat quality of our horse burgers.
I was going more for the unadulterated news. We're not beholden to any corporation. We don't owe any favors to any big spender out there. You know, we're a small local community. I don't have to worry about losing my job. Lord knows they're desperate enough to keep me on the air. but we can tackle issues. We can talk about things that your regular for-pay, for-profit broadcaster just can't deal with because it's too risking their bottom line. And that's why we need people to donate and to keep the station going.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, these prizes are great, but honestly, the ultimate reward is that support of this station. I mean, there are not institutions out there like ours. There's a handful, and they're shrinking all the time. You know, you talk about media concentration here in Vancouver. It is extreme. And it is like that way in many parts of Canada. And, you know, now more than ever, we need skeptical voices in the media.
And, you know, it's the pushback because, I mean, it's not like we are saying something into a vacuum. There are other people on the other side, and I'm going to say other side, although it's a bit of a divisive issue, like the anti-vax movement, like the people who practice homeopathic medicine, like the people who sit there and say, listen, my ideology is better than your ideology, therefore whatever I do is right. I mean, we haven't even talked about drone strikes and the thing about the United States being able to kill anyone they want to. I mean, these are important issues that people should be talking about, but quite often never get their fair shake on air. I mean, you get the pundits talking about it. You get the people who sit there and say, hey, I have my opinion, but you don't get people who sit there and say, well, what are the real facts? What is the pros and the cons? What are both sides of the argument? What is the really unbalanced? I mean, Fox News claims to have fair and balanced. We actually offer you fair. Okay, we're not always balanced because sometimes one side is more
wrong
than
the other.
Well,
there are not two sides to the anti-vaccination movement. There are not two sides to the theory of gravity. There are not two sides to the creationism evolution controversy. There is one side, science. And unfortunately, you know, that doesn't sell very well. So you want to manufacture controversy. But we don't really do that here on this show. And I don't think CITR does that either. So support CITR and support Radio Freethinker and support, you know, rational discourse on your radio.
Yeah, you know, and like we've already talked about, now we're going to go riff back into unpure meat. Ethan, so we talked about horse meat and cow meat.
Yes.
Bad thing to go. But you say, hey, I mean, really, is there much a risk to it? Not so much. Did you also know that recently they've been showing some DNA studies about fish? And that actually, when you sit there, I think it's almost like 70% of the time, the fish that you think you're buying is not the fish that you're buying. So you might buy red sole, but you're really getting rock snapper or something like that. And again, most times, one fish is as good as the other. In fact, I heard a funny thing about Bill Maher. He says, you know, I don't mind that my tuna isn't tuna, but what the hell is the eel then? Right? But there sometimes can be some issues. It's very rare. But one of the reports that I was reading had mentioned that one of the fish that was substituted for something like cod or something was a species, I can't remember its name, Moloch or something. But this Moloch gives off, it has a certain hormone and chemical that if you're a pregnant woman, can actually cause severe concentrations.
Mm.
So the idea of having a well-regulated, something that's not beholden to money is a good thing to have, even in your fish and on the air.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, you want to make sure that you're getting what you pay for, what you want to be able to trust, you know, the source of your food. You want to make sure that they're, you know, keeping their word. But the thing is, I mean, of course, the reaction to horse meat specifically, that this is bad, this is terrible. Well, lots of cultures eat horse. It's sustained the Mongols and the Huns for thousands of years.
Exactly. And that's where you come out and you need to have a rational sort of discussion. Because some concerns, like GMOs and the labeling of genetically modified foods on labels, there are some times where that might be appropriate. Because there's sometimes some alterations they might make that are valid. Just like, you know, does it matter whether I have goat meat or dog meat or cow in my burger? I mean, it was funny when I was listening to the story about IKEA and the horse meat that apparently is in their Swedish meatballs, right next to the graphic they had was a hot dog. And I'm saying, you know, if they had a picked on the hot dog, people would have said, yeah, we figured there's probably something in there other than what they said was in there, you know. But it's important to pick your battles. And we talk about this quite often on Radio Free Thinker, that, you know, whether there's horse meat or cow meat in your burger is one thing. If there's a potentially toxic fish in your fish burger, that's an entirely different conversation you have. And learning to pick your battles is an important part of any skeptic movement. And right now, we're asking you to pick your battle by supporting Radio Free Thinker on CITR FM.
Absolutely. And that's a good way of putting it, because the battles that we pick here on Radio Free Thinker, they're important to the skeptic movement. You know, I think that we're getting to that point where we're starting to move beyond the sort of limited scope that our movement has traditionally taken. We've talked a lot about homeopathy and ghosts and UFOs and Bigfoot. And don't get me wrong, those things will always be there to talk about. But we're also starting to talk about social issues, social justice. We spent a lot of time talking about the recent cluster, you know what, regarding the treatment of women in our movement. We've been talking a lot about how we can expand our repertoire to attract new people. We're, at a certain point, we're going to max out the old white men quota of the skeptic movement. We need to bring in some fresh blood here. And we need to find a message that resonates with more than just a tiny fragment of the population.
I would go further than that, Ian, is I think it's quite selfish of some people who are a part of the movement or just their opinion in general, who think that we should limit rationality and scientific method to just very select areas, that somehow these tools, when moved to some other area, is inappropriate. It's right up there with people who sit there and say, well, listen, you know, I believe in God, and I know that in a different way than you know the gravity. There are different kinds of knowing. No, there's one kind of knowing, there's one kind of truth. There may be varying degrees of how much confidence you have in it, but they are not different kinds of things.
Yeah. Yeah, David Hume kind of knocked that ball out of the park, and however many years ago David Hume lived.
And you see, he did not have a radio station show like Radio Free Thinker on a wonderful station like CITR. If David Hume had one, I bet you we'd all be pure skeptics today.
I think so. I really do. I think David Hume would be a really great radio personality.
Yes.
Well, you know, we're actually running out of time here.
Wow.
I mean, this went by pretty fast.
Yes.
So let's talk a bit about our skeptical highlights. My first one that I want to mention is coming up on Saturday, March 9th, only a few days away. It is the Evolution Creationism, quote, Controversy with David Eberth. This is presented by CFI Vancouver, and it's all about, of course, the creationism evolution controversy from a cultural point of view. So discussing why has this, quote, controversy endured for so long. It's not like, you know, we're in doubt about evolution. No, the jury has made its decision years and years and years ago. And yet, this controversy remains. So David is going to be talking a bit about what science needs to do more, engaging with people on a cultural level. Quoting facts at people is just not cutting it. Surprise, surprise.
Well, and that goes into the whole psychology of the way human brain works, right? Is when our views are challenged, we quite often get into a defensive mode. But it's one of those things that once we kind of realize that that's going on, and we can't stop it. It's one of those things. It's like seeing
three dimensions.
It's
built into us,
right? We
can't
stop ourselves. Yeah. But we can learn to deal with it.
Absolutely. And as I said, this is happening March 9th, which is a Saturday, 7 p.m. at SFU Harbor Center, room 1700. And it is by donation. So like CITR is asking for your help right now, you can come and, you know, $5, $10, whatever, drop off a donation and learn a lot about this interesting topic.
That sounds quite exciting, Ethan.
It's very exciting. Don?
I would offer you a skeptic highlight, but this week I put all my focus and all my energy onto the idea of a pledge drive. So if you want the skeptic highlight of the week, go to CITR and pledge. How much money should they pledge, Ethan?
Well, I mean, realistically, they should pledge $1,000. But if they don't want to pledge that much, you know, any amount makes a difference, of course. And we have great prizes at the 10, 20, 30, 40, 70, 80, 100, and more levels. So, you know, please, folks, help us out. And you can make that call at 604. Let me just find the actual number
here. Well, he's finding a number. Just remind people that the radio station itself is like one third of the way to its goal. Our personal amount that we hope to achieve this way, we're about, I think about half, no, we're about a third of the way there as well.
Yeah, we want to get about, what, $600 here? So, I mean, I know that we can do it. We've done this every year. We can do it. And that number, 604-822-8648 or 604-UBC-UNIT. And we'll take anything, cash, check, money order, Visa, MasterCard, but no pennies.
You said unit.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. We got Discord Radio coming up at 4:30.
Okay, so we're going to go to Discord Radio at 4:30. Let's go to some music here on CITR.
We're signed off and everything.
And he just got engaged, the hammer and the fire.